Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Well, some say electric cars won't come soon enough to meet the challenges of climate change and oil dependency. Robin Chase is one of those critics, and she's got a track record when it comes to personal transportation. She's co-founder of the community car-sharing company Zipcar. Robin Chase says it's time to think outside the box on wheels, and think about us.
It's not just the car we drive, it's how we drive it, when we drive it, where we drive it, and why we choose that car. Almost every single thing we talk about in terms of addressing climate change are infrastructure fixes, research, new technology. If we started that exactly today, it'll be at the earliest 5 years and more likely 10 to 15 years before we start seeing significant effects. Conversely, if we manage to change behavior, that takes effect tomorrow.
Now, you ought to know something about this because co-founded the company Zipcar. Tell me about what ideas emerged from that that you're now following up on.
What I learned from doing Zipcar, which was incredibly striking, was that 40% of the people are able to sell their car or avoid buying a car because of access to these cars. And then once they are members, they drive about 90% less than they would if they owned their own car. So why? Wow, how'd that happen? It's because when you're using a Zipcar or a shared car, you're paying the full cost of car ownership by the hour. And so the sunk costs of insurance, parking, depreciation, and gas, all those sunk costs are now brought up into this 1 hour. So you are faced with a choice. I want to go buy some ice cream. It's going to cost me $10 for an hour. Maybe I'll have cookies. You know, maybe I'll buy that ice cream on my way home from work. And what we did is we were able to understand how people drove and bring those data points to the internet so that we could provide an interesting application that users liked. And it's this that I'd like to get at today.
So we're talking about having the car talk to us more. Is that part of this?
Yeah, it is. So you can think about, normal circumstances would be you're sitting at home and you had to go pick up your daughter. And I'm thinking, darn, is the tank empty? Or do I have to plan to go stop at the gas station? Or is there enough fuel in that tank? I could go online and tell how much fuel there was in the tank. Or the car could be obviously learning my routine commute. And at 7:45 in the morning, it could send me a text message and say, Robin, don't take route 2. There's been an accident. Choose another route. But right now, we have no interaction with our car.
Well, we have some. I mean, many of us have, GPS directional devices or...
Once you're in the car. And that's
okay.
A really striking point.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we think about those GPS devices, that is a single-purpose wireless device. Contrast that with an iPhone, which costs around that same ballpark, and you can put 78,000 different applications on top of it. I joke that GM's OnStar, which has the potential due to this capability, is like saying, hey, Robin, here's a cell phone. It's great. You can only call your mom.
I see. So instead of being locked into one use for this communication device on the car, you're talking about a communication device that allows all sorts of different things to be happening there.
Exactly. And further, that it's not just what was in the mind of GM or what was in the mind of Ford. You know, they're clever guys. They have a certain number of engineers, and they can come up with a fixed number of clever thoughts. But we have the world of clever guys who can be thinking up even more clever, screwy things.
I think part of what you're talking about is kind of changing the way we're viewing ownership altogether. With Zipcar, it was, okay, I'm going to share access to a car instead of owning one outright. And in the case of these new products riding along on these vehicles, the automakers have to kind of share the car as a platform for maybe someone else's software application.
They do, and I am suggesting that. But I also think, moving on to the issue of sustainability, there is what I think of as a huge amount of excess capacity out there, that all of us have stuff and ideas that we don't use to its full capacity. And if we're going to move from a planet of 6.7 billion to a planet of 9 billion, we're going to need to maximize the value out of everything we do. And that goes to these single-purpose devices, and single-purpose and single-owner devices, which would be a car or the device in the car, to making it something that you pay for the part you use and then is there for other people to use.
Give me a few examples of how these applications that you envision on cars might, I don't know, change driver behavior, result in a more environmentally friendly driving.
Well, so the prime obvious one is Zipcar, which, as I said, has reduced miles people travel by about 90%. But another example would be the device can do a travel audit on you, and it could now learn your travel patterns. And it could say, Robin, I don't know why you're leaving at 7:45 every morning, because if you left at 7:20, you would save 15 minutes of travel time and not get in that traffic jam. Or, you know, my preferred would be, wow, if you took that commuter rail, it would take you 4 minutes longer, but it would save you a lot of money.
Let's talk on the more pragmatic side for a moment. Are cars ready for this, or would it require a whole new car to make this happen?
No, cars are ready for this, and in fact, we haven't talked about that. And a key piece of what I'm talking about is I want to do this on the existing 1 billion cars that are out there, that if we wait for stuff to happen in new cars, the new fleet changes over about 6 to 7% a year, which is not very fast. And so if you think about what we're talking about in the car, it's got a communications package similar to what we find in cell phones, and so you can buy very high-volume devices for that. And there's also the plug. It's called the OBD2, or the CAN bus, that is used by mechanics today when they do your inspection once a year.
The emissions inspection and stuff like that.
So that's the thing that you need to plug into. So it's plugging into that and then bringing that data through a communications package up to the Internet. So it can be done, really, today. We just have to go do it.
Robin Chase, thank you very much for your time.
It was my pleasure. Thanks.
Robin Chase, co-founder of Zipcar and one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People. She comes to us courtesy of our partnership with the U.S. EPA Smart Growth Program and the National Building Museum. And to learn more about the Smart Growth Speaker Series, go to our website, loe.org. Just ahead, how some of nature's tiniest creatures have already solved some big problems of green building. Stay with us on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.